like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. A little rhinestone cowboy there, another earworm for some of you who you can't shake that one loose. But anyway, we appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Need to be in touch with the show. What you got to do? You got to text me, and I'll respond. And James, you got a lot of takers here, son. We'll get to those later in the program. Joining us now, though, one of my favorite guests, always been very kind to this program, and we're grateful for that, Congressman Jerry Carl of the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my friend. I'm fine. I'm better than fine. I'm having a great day. Hello. Wife's in town. I get to spend a little time with her, and it's a good day.
Well, I mean, Washington, D.C. Usually doesn't get that kind of response from people.
Whenever my wife's around, it lights the room up. So it's always a good day when she's around. She even makes Washington, D.C. sparkle. So, but, you know, it's beautiful up here right now. If I could encourage anybody the time of year to come to Washington, it's certainly, the month of May. I think the cherry blossoms are a little overrated because it just kills everybody's sinuses up here.
Yeah.
The allergies.
And
it is pretty.
The sinuses paired with like the tourist kind of like
clogging. Oh my God.
Well, see, back when I was up there, I mean, I used the metro, and that was back when the metro was kind of safe. I don't think it's as safe as it once was. You coming down the escalator, going up the escalator, and then they just stand there at the very end with their maps open.
Yep.
Just like, oh my gosh, guys, come on. I got to get to work. I'm already late. But I digress. So, yeah, well, let me ask you this. Anything you're going to miss about D.C. beyond some of the overrated vegetation there?
You know, I am a country boy by nature, and I love my home. I love where I live out in West Mobile. I love the people there. They'll actually talk to you. Total strangers will. I'll miss the people that I work with, you know, especially the members. And I'll miss all this young staff. These are just some great kids that serve this country up here. Their pay structure is a struggle for them, but they're here trying to build a career and trying to do things. And yeah, I'll miss that part of it. You know, the food, I'm not crazy about the food up here. You know, everybody wants to eat steaks all the time. I can eat one steak a month and be happy. Just give me a fried pork chop and three vegetables. I'm happy as I can be. So, but I don't, Jeff, I don't know that I'm going to miss a whole lot, to be honest.
One thing I miss.
Know, right now, I miss my family more than I miss, you know, anything else. So it's nice that the idea of being able to actually go watch my grandson and my granddaughter do something at school.
One thing I really miss, maybe some of the professional sports. I like to go to a Redskins game every now and then, and then the Nats would play the Braves a lot, and I got to go to like maybe a dozen Braves games a year just by virtue of seeing them on the road. But yeah, the food, you're right. And the steakhouses are okay, way overpriced, way overrated.
As you well know, when we have an event, it's always finger food.
Yeah, which the rule, Congressman, the rule for me is don't eat at political events. Number one, you don't know how long that food's been sitting out there. And number two, like, no one looks good eating, you know? If you could go grab a plate, go stand somewhere else, that's one thing. But, like, you know how it is. Like, just I tend to try to avoid food at political events.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's the only meal you get for the day.
Fair enough, yeah.
Anyway.
But we digress.
I'll miss the people.
You'll miss the people.
Answer your question.
Well,
I get to work with.
I think I made the right move about, I guess it's been about 7 years now since my wife and I left Washington, D.C. for the South again. Let's start here. Farm bill and you were talking, you and I were talking about that off air. You feel pretty good about it, except maybe some of the entitlement, social welfare stuff.
Entitlements are always the problem. It's always the problem with the Farm Bill. You know, those are things that were put in place years ago. Those are things that, the Democrat Party stands firm on. They always try to add to it. The SNAP program, although it had more money, and I have not seen the final version yet, so let me put a disclaimer on it. But a year and a half ago during COVID, they put more money in the SNAP program because there were more families out of work and needing SNAP. And, of course, this year it comes along, and all of a sudden they want to add more money on top of that, which that percentage they added in 2023, actually – those folks should have went back to work, so there shouldn't be an increase in the SNAP. And it's and I'm sure it's quite a sticking point for a lot of our conservative members down there. I understand they had three Democrats cross over and vote for the Farm Bill, so that's unusual. So that's a good sign. I know our farm community and their pricing. We need to get it settled and get it in place and take care of our farm community, but they also need to help stabilize some of the things they're doing, because then that will help them go borrow money against some of their assets, and or you know sell their products that they're growing. So it's a good thing to get in place. It's a 5-year bill, so once it's in place, it's in place for 5 years.
Yeah, you only have to go through these Farm Bill episodes every so often, right? They're not like.
They've been working on this one for 18 months.
Right. And it's always like a big, like, I just remember, oh, it's Farm Bill time. And it's just big old booklets and everything about the Farm Bill you need to know, because so much goes into it. It's quite a cumbersome process.
Yeah. And most folks don't understand how much the farming community drives Washington, D.C. I mean, probably the largest single office setting here is the ag division. I mean, they've got huge buildings, and that's an important thing, you know, for us to eat. I mean, that's pretty darn important. So, but you know, my biggest fear right now is I've got struggling farmers, and you know, they got peanut prices, and you know that are flatlined, and cotton prices, and everything's just you know real shaky as far as the farm community concerns. So, anything we can do to make the farm community a little more comfortable and get them over a hump. Could you imagine being a farmer and think about that? You're in total submission to Mother Nature. You stick a seed in the ground and you hope in 90 days you've got something to sell. I mean, that's a pretty gutty people if you think about it.
Yeah, and the other aspect of like the Farm Bill and the reason why we have this sort of it is a convoluted system. There's no question about it. But like,
oh no doubt,
you got to give some stability to that market, because it's so essential to the national security. Like you know, the stability of your nation is really predicated on the food supply, right? And we've seen times in our history where you had hungry people and it destabilized a country. And it's all because the marketplace, you know, when you're relying on Mother Nature, it's not a perfect science, right? So that's
no, it's not.
You know, like we could talk about these subsidies and talk about, well, just let the free market flourish, but yeah, that might be in theory working, but the acts of God are hard to overcome, even for the free market.
Yes, we had a cotton crop. 3 years ago or 2 years ago, the storm came in through Mobile. And of course, it dissipated, but it was the wind and the rain north of us that damaged all the crops and knocked all the cotton off. So you would think, and then, of course, that's not covered under disaster, because it's still labeled as a hurricane. Well, who's ever heard of a hurricane in Escambia County? Farmers do. Farmers understand it. They destroyed their crops. So we'll fight those fights when they come up, though. That's my job.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, I think these are contradictory decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll first take Louisiana, and then you take a look at what happened in South Carolina, that ruling this week. And you put all that together, and you look at your situation or our situation here in Alabama. I mean, you probably follow this much better than a lot of us. What do you make of it?
Well, Alabama, you know, they're taking it back to court. According to the law, you cannot, individuals or groups cannot raise or get the courts to move on changing the district line. That has to be a judge. It has to come from the judicial system, not from an organization. NAACP and another group actually started Alabama's. So that was going back to court. Steve Marshall was actually arguing that, or his staff was arguing it Thursday. In one of the three court systems here, had no idea. We probably won't know for months how that comes out. But you know, so ours is based on that. You can't draw lines based on race. Pretty simple. That's called gerrymandering, right? So you go over in Louisiana. So Louisiana, you got lines redrawn, which pits two Republicans against one another, Letlow and Garrett Graves, Julia Letlow, and, the courts over there says, well, they're not right. It should be redrawn, but it's too close to the election, so we're not going to change it. So that one's up in the air. So then you look at South Carolina, and South Carolina is just flat saying, you know, these have got to be redrawn. You know, they're just so it is all up in the air. I honestly believe in 18 months, you're going to see Alabama probably get the or this court system get Alabama to redraw the lines here, so they're a little more make a little more sense. That's going to be up to, obviously, in Mobile area. It's going to be up. Chris Pringle, the first one comes to mind. Chris Elliott and Senate side, it'll be up to them to fight for us in this district and try to get those lines redrawn a little bit better. I mean, it is a stretch from Mobile to Dothan. And I figured out a way to make it work. I'll share that with Barry when the time comes. But it is a stretch. That's a 4+ hour haul from one end to the other. With that said, I think we're going to be right back in it.
There's no commonality,
South
right?
South Carolina's kicked their maps out. So
there's no commonality.
It's all over the wall.
You had the mayors of Mobile and Montgomery in the same congressional district, essentially, but they said the way I understood what that appeals or what that three judge panel said, well, yes, race isn't the rule or the law or the Voting Rights Act says that race isn't the dominant or the only factor in drawing these lines, but you know, based on what we see, it looks like it was the only factor. There's no other. Could you, if you had to take race out of this discussion, Congressman, could you defend these congressional districts as they are laid out right now, without saying, you know, like if you don't have race as a factor, there's no justification otherwise.
No, and you know, to think, Congressman you know, Barry is going to take the Mobile area, the Gulf Coast area. Let's be fair to him. He doesn't know anything about it. So he's got to be a very quick learner. He's got 2 years to learn it, or really more like 18 months to learn it, to turn something positive out of it, and run for reelection. So that's going to be a huge hurdle for him to do. Especially considering his views, and we may disagree on our views. That's fine. He's got his. He won. So, you know, to the winner goes all the spoil. So, but you can't justify that to me. Why you would take two districts that are very much different? We could make a case that they're alike, but from a management standpoint, they're two different worlds. When you start looking over in Barry's district, those are ultra, ultra conservative folks. You look in our district, they're conservative folks. They're not ultra, ultra conservative. And that's the difference. That's the mindset. So, you know, Barry's going to be serving two or three masters here. It's going to be interesting to watch him. And I'm going to do everything I can do to help him. I'm trying to stay just as positive as I can and encouraging everyone else to do the same thing. Be patient. Give him a chance to get his feet wet. Let's see what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and let's help him where we can help him.
Well, just look at the map, right? Where your district was, you won pretty handily. Where his district was, he won. And if it doesn't suggest, I mean, it could say a number of things, but it also might tell us this, that like as you say, these are two very different constituencies, and that these are not communities of interest, and you can't just co-mingle them. You can't take, if you took Slocum and try to put it in Baldwin County, it would be a puzzle piece that doesn't fit. And like, I think like these are things you've got to like argue. I wonder how this is going to go, and you think this is going to be redone in the future? How are you confident in the way that the people are going to be handling this, arguing this for the state? Do you feel good about the situation we're in if it comes to that?
Well, you know, we lost the last one, so I'm not real confident about anything or anybody right now. I mean, to be perfectly honest, and I don't mean that from a personal standpoint, but, you know, I feel like we should have stayed probably with the map at Pringle in the House. I think that would have been a little more acceptable than what the Senate actually turned in. So, you know, our Marshall, you know, he had to defend that map in court, and I think the other map would have been a lot easier. But, you know, the court system's so fickle. I mean, you know, you catch him in a good mood on the right day, you could probably get it passed. You get him on a bad day, it won't be passed. So I think we're all doing our job, first of all, and it's going to be interesting to watch. I think the courts will, with everything popping between Louisiana and Carolinas, and I think the court system that we're going through is going to look at it a little bit different. How much, I don't know, because I understand the court, the judge that actually viewed that really doesn't have a lot of inclination to want to make much changes, so I'm told, but you never know. But we have to work with what we've got. We've got a district that runs from Mobile to Dothan. We've got Mobile, we've got a new congressman. So we need to, you know, let's focus on working with him. Let's focus to make sure we get him elected in November. Let's get him seated. Let's, you know, get our business community invited and come in, teach him your businesses. Let him know what he needs to know. It's our job to educate him, the Gulf Coast.
Carson, we've got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thank you so much for coming on, and let's talk again.
My pleasure,
soon.
Jeff. And Dale Strong told me to tell you hello, and he would love to come on your show.
I need to sit that out because he was up in New York, don't I? Congressman Jerry.
I was just across the hall in his office.
Tell him I said hello back. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hope the Indian may eat the girl.